It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair. But her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go. But her friend is nowhere to be.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this week, since Douglas decided to leave us high and dry, we've brought Dave from Screen Geeks. How are you?
Good, how are you guys doing? I didn't know I was playing filler.
Oh, I didn't tell you that. Douglas actually left for New York this morning, so we wish him well.
Very cool.
He's gone to his friend's wedding.
I think we found a more than adequate replacement, though.
Yeah, so we never need to ask Douglas to come back.
Yeah, in fact, I don't think this Douglas character is going to last too long.
See, you've made my return to podcasting feel very welcome now, and I thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, and I cannot wait for you to return to podcasting. But
we're recording on Sunday, so yeah.
Okay. As you know, this is the podcast. We will go through what we watch this week. I want to have a little conversation about spoilers, and we'll go through news trailers, and we'll be reviewing... What's the movie?
Sleep Dealer.
Must have made a really good impression, if you can't remember the title. I'm just saying.
Yes, Andrew's not a fan.
I want to start...
with you, folks.
I want to start this week with what we watched. And Dave, what have you seen this film this week that you want to talk about?
You know, I might as well just start off with getting you hate mail right now, or getting me hate mail, whichever. I'm about halfway through the first season of Dollhouse, and I'm not a fan. Yeah. But you are, right, Andrew?
Alright, you know what? I'm going to temper this, because I can understand if people don't like this show. I like it. And I recently got the Blu-ray, and I watched it all again recently, inclusive of the 13th episode that was on the DVD alone. 13th episode, by the way, is freaking awesome. Right? But
that's
I can
what's got me going.
Yeah, but I can see. While watching this, I could see that there are some bad episodes in the season. But overall, I did enjoy the show a lot. It's a fun show, and I like it.
It is fun. I think it works as an anthology show, really, as long as you're not looking for too much character development. From my personal perspective. Now, to be fair, you're a huge Whedon fan in general, right?
Well, my Whedon fandom didn't begin until like 3 months ago or so.
But you like Buffy, you like Angel, you like Firefly, you like... pretty much what he's done, you've liked so far.
I like all of his stuff, except Firefly I'm kind of iffy on.
And see, that's the one show that I absolutely love of his.
Oh, so...
That's my addiction.
I've told myself I'll rewatch Firefly, but I'll leave that for a while. I'm going through Angel.
That works. And I mean, to be full disclosure, I even have family ties to the Whedon universe, and just... not that big of a Whedon fan overall, and I'm definitely not an Eliza Dushku fan.
Can you tell me about that family tie?
Oh, okay. Yes, my uncle actually worked on the special effects. Have you watched all of Buffy?
I've watched all of Buffy, yeah.
He blew up the school.
Oh, is he just a pyrotechnics guy?
Well, he was the lead, one of the lead special effects guys through season 6 when Joss left to do Firefly, and then he went over to do Firefly with him. But he has actually interviewed in Entertainment Weekly. They did a huge Buffy episode, and he was pissed that they cut so much of the explosion out, because he lit it up like the 4th of July.
Oh, I mean, at the end of season 3 when they blew up the school, that was awesome.
Yes, but Columbine kind of put a damper on that.
Was it at the same time?
Don't get me wrong.
Was that at the same time?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't really match up timelines with stuff that happened, so I wasn't really thinking along those lines.
Yeah, apparently it was a lot more spectacular when they actually did it.
Oh, cool.
But that's all to say that I have plenty of reason to love the Whedonverse. I just don't. And I don't know. I had to have some kind of character progression, and I'm just not getting it so far. I'll finish it just because I hear episode 13 is just flat out amazing. So I will get to that point for sure.
I don't think you mentioned, what did you think of Dr. Horrible?
Oh, I love Dr. Horrible. I adore Dr. Horrible. I bought the DVD and what is it? Commentary of the Musical is brilliant.
Yes, it is.
It's so wrong, but so brilliant. And the other show that I've been doing a lot of TV. I saw Inglourious Basterds, but I know you guys reviewed that, so we won't go. Do we need to go back into that?
I haven't seen it. It hasn't come out here yet. But they're playing trailers, so hopefully it'll be out soon.
Oh, so you guys haven't talked about it yet?
No.
Oh.
So I'm
okay,
sitting here.
I won't ruin it for you.
I'm sitting here hoping not to be spoiled, but I want to talk about the spoilers thing a little later. Anything else? Like, what do you? Yeah.
I've been watching a crapload of Leverage. It's a TNT show. I'm watching on Netflix. Watch it now. And that show is amazing. It's like the Ocean's 11 meets the A-Team. It's just so much fun to watch.
Andrew, would you like to explain to him why I'm looking at you perplexed right now?
No.
Okay. Well, I've been telling these people that Leverage is amazing, and they've refused to watch it. And I've also been telling them that Dark Blue is also amazing, and they still sit here and come every week and refuse to watch it. I don't know why. It's so good. And
just watch the pilot for Leverage and
exactly.
You will be hooked.
But that's what I tell them. I say, if you watch the first episodes of both these series and you don't like it, then there's something wrong with you and stop watching the series. But it's impossible. Everyone likes this show. Everybody.
I will admit, I was very worried after watching the pilot. I'm like, how are they going to keep this up on a weekly basis?
Me too.
And they're finding ways to do it.
Yep. Are you watching Dark Blue?
I'm not. I don't actually have cable. I watch everything off Netflix. Watch it now, generally. Or
fair enough.
Netflix.
When you're finished with Leverage, start watching Dark Blue. Just trust me.
Okay.
Okay.
I will do that. And that's really it. Yeah.
Okay.
Life has been. Life has taken us away from movies for the past few weeks, so I haven't watched as much as I'd like to.
And I can understand that with recent news.
Yes.
Damien, what have you been watching this week?
I haven't seen any new movies this week. I saw Fistful of Dollars and For a Few More Dollars.
I see where this is going.
Yes, you do. The good, the bad, the ugly.
And what do you think of those movies?
And I cannot understand
bad westerns.
I cannot understand why we don't have more westerns. I don't know if there was a time that there were so many out there that people, you know, got tired of them. Because the only westerns that have come out recently are 310 and Appaloosa. 310 being very good and Appaloosa.
There was Jesse James.
Yeah, I guess.
They're out there. They're just not as.
Right.
I think it's not so much that they are outnumbered.
Right.
But that there are just so many more movies now than there were then. So
it's also difficult to do a good western.
Exactly. It's the westerns are so formulaic, but they're also very well, if done well, they're really entertaining. So I just don't understand what happened or if something happened that triggered, you know,
Clint
people
Eastwood
making. Oh yeah, Clint Eastwood stopped making them. All right,
everybody just started saying, if Clint Eastwood is starring in the film, it's a western.
All right, Clint Eastwood.
The other thing is that Akira Kurosawa quit making movies for westerns to be ripped off from.
Oh yeah, and No Country is technically a western.
No, it is not.
I count that as a
You're
western.
Crazy. This is not a western. So I saw those movies. Clint Eastwood is. When Clint Eastwood dies, I might have to fly and go to the funeral. I think.
Will you get off his lawn?
No. Because he won't be there to shout at me.
Thank you, sir.
Get off my lawn.
Oh, I love that movie.
I love Clint Eastwood. Then I saw. The only other movie that I saw was outside of westerns. I watched a lot of westerns. So I saw Quantum of Solace. And I understand the criticism that movie got, but the first 30 minutes of that movie was awesome. Like, it was just action scene to action scene to action scene. And then after that, they started telling some nonsensical story that just brought the movie down. It's not a bad movie. I don't understand why people are making it seem like it's the worst James Bond movie of all time. Pierce Brosnan had a movie where some guy had the power of the sun and lost.
I never said it was the worst of all time. It's a bad Bond film.
I'm not
film.
Talking to you.
I think compared to Casino Royale, it's not even close. That's what hurt.
I understand that it is nowhere near as good as Casino Royale. But to say that this is a bad Bond film, people are crazy. Because
you're right, it's just a bad film in general.
Because If we're talking Bond films, I think Casino Royale would be a bad Bond film. Because it's too good to be a Bond film. Because all Bond films are campy spy movies. And that one was not. So that should be taken out of the Bond canon and put far and because just, it's so good.
And just sit somewhere being an awesome movie.
Right, and, not call it Bond. Then all of the others you can push together and call it Bond movies.
Casino Royale is there to show everyone else that it can be done.
Yes, only once it can be done.
And I'm not a fan of Bond movies, but you're right. It's not the worst of the Bond movies that I've seen. Which one was it? The World Is Not Enough, the one that had Denise Richards in it?
Yeah. It's
as the nuclear scientist saying, I will disarm the nuclear device. And
yes.
You can hear the collective forehead slap in the entire theater.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the worst one I've seen.
No, and that one still can be the worst, because the Halle Berry one is far and away the worst. What was the name of the Halle Berry?
I skipped that one.
It was the one with the Madonna song, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Die Another Day. The bad guy had harnessed the power of the sun and lost to James Bond. It was truly a horrific, horrific James Bond movie. But when is the other James Bond coming out? Or we still don't have any information?
We don't have any info on that one.
Okay. Hopefully they get the Casino Royale director back on board.
No, he's busy doing Green Lantern.
I don't care what he's doing.
Can I go back to Westerns really quick?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Have you seen like any of the Kurosawa films that have been adapted into Westerns, like Yojimbo or Seven Samurai?
Yes, I have.
How
do you think they compare to their American counterparts? I'm very curious.
In some ways, like, you can see where the Americans took, you know, they took the idea from his film, but it's not really one to one. And I mean, it's
to make changes for differences in culture and things,
right?
Like that, absolutely.
And Kurosawa is a far better director, like, technically, than the American counterparts. So there's things that, like, he gets tension better than a lot of the other movies, but they're not bad. You wouldn't watch them and say, oh, it's a bastardization of Kurosawa's vision. It's just a different way to look at it. It's just an American version of what Kurosawa did. So I enjoyed him.
Yeah, I'm curious as to why people can't take that kind of approach to the remakes that are happening. Like, if I knew that kind of love was going to be taken for Old Boy, I wouldn't be near as worried as I am about it.
Yeah, no, I think because now people are just, when they make remakes now, it's just the studio buys a license and then they're just cranking out the remake. And it's never just to give an American perspective. It's always, oh, we have the license, so let's put out this movie. That's how I feel about modern remakes of Japanese films.
Fair enough. Oh, can I chime in with one last thing and I'll shut the heck up for a while?
Okay.
Who watched Harvey? I forget. Who watched Harvey?
I saw Harvey.
Bless you, sir. I'm glad you finally saw it.
Yes. Yes. The recommendation was there, and like, I saw the poster for it, and it's this guy, and there's a shadow of a bunny there, and I'm like,
you thought it was Playboy?
And I read this, no. And I read the synopsis, and I'm like, this can't actually be what this movie is about. And I saw the movie, and it was really good. I couldn't, like, people told me it was going to be good, but a lot of people say nice things about older movies. There's very few old movies that people come out and say, you know, this movie is absolute garbage.
Because those movies have been forgotten.
Exactly. So, well, the conversation wasn't forgotten.
No, it hasn't been long enough.
Terrible.
1950s. People have forgotten the bad ones from the 50s.
Fair enough.
Not from the 80s and the 70s.
But I love that movie. I love Harvey. And I'm afraid of them remaking it right now. I don't know. I don't think it needs to be remade. It's not like, is there anything really to be gained by remaking this movie?
A new audience. I mean, we know people our age, not us, but who will not watch a film that would date past the 90s.
Fair enough, but how are they going to market this movie? It's a man...
You mean I owe you a drink whenever we meet?
No, I mean, I understand that, yes, they're trying to open it up to a new audience, but there's no way to market this. If they're making the same movie that they said they're making, it's impossible. There's no way for them to market this to any new. No one's going to see this trailer and go, you know, I think I'm going to watch it. No, I really don't see. And the whole movie is so good. I just don't. Seriously, when you watch it, you'll understand. There's just no.
All right, I'll try
reason.
And watch it this week. I'll try. I promise. I promise. I'll get back to you.
Would you want them to remake Casablanca?
Fuck you.
Right, that is basically the reaction that everyone who's seen Harvey is having to this news. It's just pointless. And a lot of the things that they were speaking to in the 50s, it probably won't translate if you try to update this movie. I don't know. They're going to, so we'll hope for the best.
Alright, what else did you see this week you want to talk about?
That was about it. I didn't see anything new. And I saw this new movie, which, hint, hint, is not that good. Sleep Devil. Wow.
This week, I started off by, I got a whole set of DVDs this week, and I went and I watched Big Fish on Blu-ray. I've seen it before, and I'm rewatching it. And I can't imagine how I forgot this when we were doing our top films about fathers. I love this movie. Now, Tim Burton has been known for doing his dark films. This is the only film I think I can pick out which has a bit of that dark taste, but definitely in a lighter frame. It's about this son living. His father is dying, and he's come to talk to him. And this is a father who's been telling him all his life, all his tall tales about his life. And as he grew up, I mean, he loved it as a child, but as he grew up, he grew to realize the ridiculousness of these stories. And he doubted them and got to the point where he just believed, yeah, that man is just plain out, flat out lying. And I mean, it goes through him going through all of his father's stuff, finding out all these things about his father. It's an amazing film, amazing in Blu-ray. People need to check
that
out.
I can only imagine.
And
it's my favorite Tim Burton film by far.
And I have to tell you, Dave, I went back and I was listening to your Tim Burton reviews on Screen Geeks, which is what reminded me about this film, why I ordered it.
Oh, well, I'm glad, and I'm glad you rediscovered it.
It was one of these.
Take it so personally, if you're a big Burton fan, that's all I'm saying.
I got this, and I got the first Batman film on Blu-ray at the same time, and I watched them back to back, and it was just awesome.
Okay.
Yes, the gun special. Another movie I watched this week was Gamer.
You see how I did not talk about watching Game Andrew.
So is it as god awful as it looks?
Yes,
it is.
No, it is worse. That is what is sad. It is worse than you actually think.
And I think the funniest part about this for me is that Damien broke his vow to go and see this movie.
So Dave, I don't know if you know, but I am against we only have one cinema here, one company, and they're pretty bad. They're using old technology in every regard, for video and for audio, and their service is piss poor. And I decided in March that I wasn't going to support it anymore. And what's that? 6-7 months?
5 months.
5 months for, right, whatever.
Only 5 months.
Then Andrew and his brother said, you know, they're changing out some stuff, maybe we should go. And you know, you can have a look and see if they've made any improvements. So reluctantly I agreed and I went, and not only is the tech that they're using it's exactly the same, but we saw Gamer. And Gamer, I mean, it would be the cherry on top if what I got was a prize. This movie's it is abysmal. Like, there's nothing redeeming about this movie. It is, like, if it was at Death Race level, I'd have been alright. But this movie is really, really bad. It is not Legend of Chun-Li bad, but it is close. It is near Max Payne bad.
I would put it at Legend of Chun-Li.
No.
But then again, I have Chun-Li over Max Payne.
Legend of Chun-Li has a cancer punch. Listen to me carefully. And a montage of a Chinese baby growing up into a white woman. There's no way for any other movie to come close.
To be fair, they tried to make it subtle, but there's only so far you can go with that, really.
That movie's so bad. And what made it just horrible was the fact that, I mean, Neville Dean Taylor, we know him for the Crank films, and if he had made a Crank movie like this, right, I would have been happy, right? But he didn't. He decided to make this film about video games and even have... I don't care if you want to tell me that I shouldn't be thinking about this in a film from the guy who brought us Crank, but some form of social commentary talking about how people interact over the internet gaming and
he
stuff.
He did. He had some fat dude controlling some
hot
woman
chick.
And I mean, sweating and being nasty. This movie is really bad. The action is bad, which I can't believe because these guys did Crank. And Gerard Butler is bad in the movie. Michael C. Hall is probably the only person, the only slight glimmer of hope as in the movie.
There's that scene near the end when he's singing, which is really
right,
awesome,
but
I won't give it away.
But the movie, this movie is really terrible. Unbelievably so, I might add. So thank you for carrying me back to Carib. And just so you know, I won't be going back.
So after 3 weeks of them putting out digital projections and us going, yes, they're going digital, we go with Damien and there's no digital projection that week.
And the audio was phenomenal. I love how, you know, when people are talking at me, I'm hearing it from the back of the room. It's genius. I love Carib so much. So I'm never going back. Dave, you need
so
to...
you're just like not going to go see movies anymore, pretty much, then?
Home theater.
Yeah. I have a better setup at home than going to the theater. I have proper 5.1, I have proper headphones, and I have a full HD TV, a PlayStation 3, a stupid fast computer. There's just no reason for me to go and subject myself to that. It's unfair to me. And
so
I'm not going to pay them
system?
For madness.
Sorry.
What was that?
It says, why don't you have a real video game system? I just...
Just out of curiosity, what's a real video game
the
system?
The one that breaks
hold on,
all
hold on.
The
I just want to hear him say it. Who are you?
Honestly, I just like to do a little, you know, little pissing contest here and there. Honestly, I think each console has something to offer for every kind of gamer. I happen to fall more into the 360 crowd. Yes.
All right. I would have fallen into the 360 gamer if my console didn't break 4 times since Christmas.
So you had a 360?
I have a 360. That doesn't work.
Awesome.
Yes, it is. 4 times since Christmas. And I don't know if you know this, but Microsoft doesn't have any headquarters here in Jamaica. So whenever
and
it
that's
breaks...
That's why I can completely understand you.
You're on your own.
I'm on my own. It's not fun. It's not fun.
Another film I saw this week was Julie and Julia.
Was that projected in...
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
So the woman was right when we called her.
Fair enough.
I think this movie was... I mean, not anything to gloat about as being amazing, but it definitely was a good movie for me. And I've heard all the critics and all the podcasters talking about Meryl Streep versus Amy Adams and everyone falling on the Streep side. I agree with them, acting and character-wise. However, there was just a little something that kept me liking Amy Adams a little bit more, and it's not
because she's pretty,
and the pretty isn't pushed
right
in this movie.
The balls sent a message to the brain.
No, it's not just that. I mean, it's like every time we were with her character, she was going to the computer to write up what she was writing up. I just felt like that was what I do. I sit down and I write, and I feel like I'm talking to someone. And every comment I get, I feel just proud.
I think it's time for you to get a job. I think that's what's happening here. This is an intervention.
So
you
would you put this on the same level as like Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day kind of thing?
I haven't watched
like,
that film yet.
Well, it is kind of a romantic film that's just really good too.
I haven't watched Miss Pettigrew yet.
Oh, okay.
Is it definitely maybe? Is it that?
Definitely one? Maybe level.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely around there. It's nothing I tell you to rush out for, but it's a good film, especially if you know what you're getting into. Women, cooking, Nora Ephron.
And if you love Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
I Damien.
I don't know if there's anything else I should really talk about this week. I rewatched Spirited Away earlier today. It was freaking awesome. I love Miyazaki.
I think that you're the only one, Andrew. I don't think there's anybody else.
No. Spirited Away is amazing, and Ponyo was freaking great.
Yes, this sarcasm. Everyone loves Miyazaki. I've never heard any bad...
every Miyazaki film exempting Ponyo, except for Ponyo right now, and I love every one of them.
You know, even though it has a Jonas and a Cyrus in it, it's still a good movie.
I'm going to watch it with Japanese audio, so I won't have that problem.
Good job, sir. Subtitles. That's good stuff.
Anyways, moving on. Earlier this week, I was listening to the IFC podcast, and they were talking about spoilers and the nature of spoilers and do spoilers really ruin a film? And here's the thing. When I was listening to them talk about it and how they were going through, I agree with them. Spoilers really shouldn't ruin a film for you. If the narrative is the only thing you're going to take away from the movie, it's not that good a movie. Because, I mean, I watch movies 5, 20, 30 times. And, I mean, just to let you know, I still hate spoilers. And even during that episode, as soon as they were done making their point, they said, "We're going spoiling Glorious Bastards," and I turned it off. So I'm still afraid of spoilers. But at the same time, just to think about it, like, do you we care so much about spoilers. I try and announce every spoiler warning I'm going to give on this show. I try my best not to spoil things when I write reviews for my site. Like, Dave, what do you think of spoilers? Is it that important to you?
Oh, man. This is tough because I'm on two sides of it. Like with Avatar as an example, I'm staying away from the trailers. I'm staying away from everything about it because I'm already feeling like it's too overhyped as it is now. But at the same time, it's like you said, as far as the narrative, if you know the ending and it's still a good movie, it doesn't matter. Are either of you guys basketball fans at all?
Yep.
I don't know if you're way back in the day when Magic Johnson was playing,
right.
He was known whenever he'd be running a play that he'd be telling people where to go, you know, what to do, all that stuff. And someone asked him finally, "Why do you tell everyone what you're going to do?" He said, "As long as the execution's there, it doesn't matter if they know it's coming or not." So I've kind of taken that point of view that, you know, if something is spoiled, I try to stay away from spoilers, but if it's spoiled for me, I'm open to seeing how the execution is done. So overall, I like to stay spoiler-free just because it's kind of a dick move to try to spoil a movie for someone else.
No, you see, I understand with people like going la 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 when I start talking about new films that they haven't seen or old films or whatever. But I mean, just as a film lover, like, is the narrative the only thing to look forward to in a movie?
Not at all. Not at all. You know, I mean, you know, like at the end of Inglourious Bastards when Hitler
wow.
Aliens abduct him. It's just, you know, yeah, like I would actually do that to you guys.
Wait,
there's something to be said for
that Indiana Jones 5
the movie.
What were you saying, Dave? I was laughing.
Oh, my word.
what I was saying was there's something to be said for the joy of discovering how the movie's going to go. Generally, I don't try to figure out how a movie's going to end.
I have that problem.
But no, the ending of Fight Club was just brought up in the chat room. I saw it twice in the theater, and it's one of those movies that I think gets better as you get through it. But that's because of the execution again. So I can... You know, like, if you were to ruin The Sixth Sense as an example, I think that ruins the film to a good extent. Usual Suspects, if you ruin the ending, part of the mystique is gone, but it's still such an amazing film, and so well acted, so well written, so well directed, so well shot, that there's so much to love about that movie that if it's a true classic, finding out that the ending isn't going to ruin the movie for you.
No, but
I don't know if that makes any sense at all.
But like, I agree with both of you to an extent. But my problem with all of what people are saying about spoilers is there's many movies that a lot of people haven't seen. I haven't seen a lot of movies. You haven't seen a lot of movies. When you go into a movie fresh, it is always a better experience. If you know a spoiler, then you start looking for the spoiler. And whenever it comes up, you go, "Oh, that's what they were talking about." Right? Yes, it doesn't stop the film from being good if it is a good film. But it's unfair to take that first viewing from somebody, because that's essentially what you're doing. When they see the movie for the first time, in their head, they'll know to look for certain things. And they might not be doing it consciously, but they'll be looking for certain things in the movie. Because there's a lot of... Because we saw Valkyrie last year, mm-hmm. right? We knew that, Hitler was going... He didn't kill Hitler.
It was even obvious. In the advertisement, exactly. The story of the failed assassination. Right.
It was pretty obvious that he didn't kill Hitler. So you knew, all right, they're going to try and whatever, but, it's not going to come off. But if someone had told you specifics about certain points in the movie, then you'd go. Because even though you knew that he failed, when certain things happened in the movie, there was still the tension of, what just happened. And that everyone should get that feeling. You shouldn't be telling people things about the movie that spoil major points. It might not spoil the entire movie, but there'll be things in the movie that are spoiled. I remember we saw the Death Race trailer, and that trailer gave away everything in the movie. There was nothing left, that you went, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. That was one of the worst cut trailers I'd ever seen. And when I was watching the movie, I just kept going, oh, that's from the trailer. Oh, that's from the trailer. All the way to the end of the movie. And I didn't want that.
But what do you think about trailers which don't necessarily give it away quickly? Like when you watch a trailer, but when you look back at them after the film, you can see that they were showing
you
the end.
Yeah, but that's what you... But you have to look back to see. You don't know when these things are happening. Right? If the trailer is done well, then you appreciate the fact that they showed you a whole lot of the movie and you still had no idea what was going on.
Like the District 9 trailer.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, all right. So
I think if I can succinctly say what I think I want to say, sure. Generally I stay spoiler free unless someone begs me to tell them what the spoiler is. But again, Old Boy was just brought up in the chat room. That's a movie where if you bring up one very specific plot point at the end, it ruins the entire movie.
All right. And it's not that bad. Bastards, because of it.
There's a certain historical deviance. I'm not going to say anything else. But I knew about that going in, and it didn't ruin the movie because the entire movie didn't hinge on this one piece of information.
No, but yeah. I'm not talking about things ruining the movie. Because as you said, what I agree is that if the movie is good enough, then one point wouldn't wreck the movie. Right?
But you never want to rob someone of that first watching. That's like the most beautiful thing.
All right, exactly. All right, here's one point. Like, Dave, have you seen World's Greatest Dad yet?
I have not.
Oh, what do you know about the film right now?
Nothing at all whatsoever. It's called World's Greatest Dad.
Good work.
You haven't even seen the trailer that came out?
Nope. Now, granted, that's been from being out of the loop for as long as we have. So I'm going to be quickly getting back into the loop and having stuff ruined all the time in trailers and stuff.
Okay, all right. I'm going to skip what I was going to say because I don't want to ruin anything for Dave, so... Alright, without saying what anything is, right, we knew going in basically the entire film.
Well, we knew what the some major incident happened in the movie, mm-hmm. and we knew what that major incident
and
was.
And we knew what came after that major incident. Right. We know basically everything except the exact final moment of that film.
Right.
We're going to be bringing this up again shortly, I do believe.
Yeah, but the movie is good enough. Right, and that didn't rob me of my. It may have robbed certain people of their first view, but it didn't. I mean, we 300. Did you read the comic before mm-hmm. you saw the movie? Right?
Yeah,
you knew everything that was going to happen in the movie.
Yep.
When I went to the theater and I saw people watch that movie and they didn't know the ending, there are people who were the people who.
People don't know that story.
Right. Visibly had a different reaction than I had. And I was thinking, if I didn't know the ending of that movie, if I was going in blind, I'd have probably appreciated the end more. But I knew basically everything. I was just going there to see.
Pretty picture.
Right. What I had read on film. Right. And if I had announced to everybody in the theater when I walked in, oh, these guys... They're all gonna die then in the movie. Right? People would have come out and punched me in the face because that's exactly what I've been doing. I've been robbing them of their first viewing. Now, I go back and I watch 300 over and over, and I'm sure that there's other people. And it doesn't make the movie less awesome because the movie's awesome. But if I could have had their experience, I'd have preferred having their experience. When you go in blind, it's just better. It's
so honest. You're saying no to spoilers?
Yeah. I mean, Star Wars, you know I saw it late. And no one is ever shy about ruining Star Wars. Because everyone assumes that everyone on the planet has seen Star Wars. So I knew...
Because from you hit the age 5, you're supposed to have seen...
So I knew everything about Star Wars long before seeing Star Wars. But maybe I'd have had... Maybe I'd have loved Star Wars more if I could have seen it fresh the first time. I don't know.
Okay.
So no to spoilers.
So no to spoilers from you, Dave. No to spoilers?
Generally, I say no. I'm not... My world isn't going to fall apart if I find out a spoiler, but generally I try to steer clear of them and try to steer the people clear of them.
I guess I have to agree, but at the same time, feeling kind of... odd to hear this opinion on it and agree with it at the same time. That,
I mean,
what's the point of quibbling?
When M. Night puts out his shitty movies and they have one twist and someone ruins the twist, yeah, it wrecks the movie, but that's because the movie is a terrible movie.
Yeah, it shows you the weakness
of
the film.
They're all terrible movies. Which is why I say you only has half a good movie. I keep saying that and people keep disagreeing. But The Sixth Sense, it's only half a movie because once you watch a movie once, there's no reason to ever see that movie again. And all these other movies are terrible.
That's right, we had this discussion. I will leave it alone.
Yeah. All we need to do is talk about Wall-E again and this will be fun.
No, it's unbreakable, but that's beside the point.
News this week. There's news about the Terminator DVDs coming out. Dave, what was this?
Okay, so this is actually setting the internets on fire. I don't believe I just said internets. My bad. Sorry about
that's
that.
Okay.
That's okay.
I hurt myself for saying that. Apparently, essentially, it has come out that the DVD is getting a single disc, movie only, no special features, no nothing at all, whereas the Blu-ray gets not only a 3-disc edition, granted one of them's a digital copy, so it's a coaster.
No, but it's 2 discs.
What?
It's 2-disc edition.
Because you don't count the third. Good man. Good man. But it's going to have a ton of featurettes. It's going to have a director's cut, which has probably like a whole 3 extra minutes, I think, this is what I was just reading, and that's probably going to be like half of that is Moon Blood Goods goodies, which
yeah.
I couldn't care less about. But... as a DVD owner, I wanted to bring this up because I know you guys have gone Blu-ray. I've stuck with DVD right now just for the financial reasons. And it pisses me off as a standard def DVD owner because you guys get all this cool stuff and I get jack squat.
No, I can
buy a PS3.
No, Dave, I am with you because I didn't go Blu-ray up until like 3 or less months ago.
Yes, so
and
you're still living in the past.
I was still living in the past, and I can remember one release such as The Wrestler. I have The Wrestler on DVD, and I remember when that came out, looking at all the specials that came on the Blu-ray and comparing it. It was just ridiculous. I was sitting down and saying, why
must I hold on to things of the past? Right? Do you ride to work on your horse? With your lantern shaking
beforehand.
And use your typewriter to update your blog. No. No, you don't. Right?
We were talking about this a little bit beforehand.
It's...
And I jumped on the DVD bandwagon 10 years ago. So I was one of their fairly early adopters.
Yes.
I wasn't on the bleeding edge. You could say cutting edge.
Yes, sir.
When was
here's the thing. First of all, there's a bigger jump from VHS to DVD. And you could actually enjoy a DVD on your same exact setup you've got on... as you had with your VCR.
Yes, sir.
Could you watch a Blu-ray on a standard def TV? Yes, but why in the hell would you?
Exactly. Right? If you're going to embrace the future, then you need to embrace the future. Right?
But
you don't use your...
Since
you don't,
then, though.
No, but you don't use your standard def TV to browse the internet.
All right, hold on.
No,
hold
you
on,
bought
hold
a computer.
Damon, you see, I'm in the middle here. I understand everyone.
Yes.
I understand as someone... who is enjoying DVD on their standard def televisions right now, seeing it as, yeah, I could upgrade, but this is pretty good for now. I mean, what's the point? And I understand on the other end that once you've jumped,
that you're all
once
wrong.
Once you've moved over, it is just brilliant. But I would say that to anyone who has, like yourself, Dave, who has the DVD set up and is all good right now, honestly, as much as I love Blu-ray and I would tell anyone to upgrade, if you really don't have what the cash to do it, don't do it. Just enjoy your DVDs.
No, but he can't because they're not giving him features.
Then don't buy that DVD.
And I'm not.
And I mean, why would you want Terminator anyway?
Well, no. And this is this.
No, it's the start of a trend.
I think the movie was underrated. I don't think it's a brilliant masterpiece or anything, but I don't think it was the complete crap that everyone's made it out to be either.
As Damien said. No,
but because of that, I've been fascinated. I want to watch the behind-the-scenes features. And I know there's things like the video commentary that, you know what, only Blu-ray can support that. And that's great. Use that as a selling point for Blu-ray. But if you have to take away features from DVD that could go on DVD, it doesn't make sense. We're not sitting at the point where DVD is the dying format. DVD is outselling Blu-ray by a significant margin still. Yes, it's about Blu-ray's jumped 80% in the last year or whatever. So you're selling three DVDs instead of two. Good for you. The thing is that we're not talking about something on the death knells of a format. You know, whereas you had people when DVD was coming out, you had people saying, why isn't my VHS coming with special features and in widescreen? Well, because no one's going to carry it anymore in 6 months. That's not the case with DVD. This just seems like a very bad business decision on Warner Brothers' part, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think it's really sucky that they screwed the DVD viewers on this.
And I'd like to make clear, I'm jealous of you guys who are all Blu-rayed out, because I know what I'm missing.
Well, I can tell you right now, looking at my collection, as I told you, I've only been in Blu-ray for like 3 months. I have over 120 DVDs and like 10 Blu-rays so far. So
that's the other problem. I've got like 500 DVDs. Even when I go Blu-ray, I'm not replacing all of them.
No, right, but you don't need to, because you'll have a better TV, which will make your old DVDs look better. And then the movies that you get in Blu-ray will just look even better. And what people keep forgetting is that outside of looking better, it sounds better. There's no compression on... I've not seen any compression on any Blu-ray for any audio. And all my DVDs have compressed audio. It's not a lot, but it's there. And believe me,
so you bring up a very good point.
Audio makes a world of difference, but people keep overlooking it because they assume that the speakers that come with the TV is doing just a fantastic job of producing all the audio that audio engineers spend months at a time putting in the movie, and you guys are playing it out of two channels on some shitty TV speakers.
Yeah, I still have the shitty TV speakers.
And you could buy a proper set of headphones or a proper surround sound, but everyone keeps looking. I still don't understand. People go to the theater and they're like, oh, this surround sound is amazing. And then goes home and they're like, no, my speakers on my TV, they're good enough. I cannot understand it.
Well, but, to give you a little background of where I am, I'm actually running on 6.1 surround sound setup in
good
my
work,
basement.
Sir.
And I make a point of buying DVDs if they have DTS on them.
Right.
But you talk about just buy, you can just buy this, you can buy that. Well, here's the thing. You talk about buying a new receiver, you're talking about buying a new TV, you're talking about buying a new Blu-ray player, you're talking about $2,000 to $3,000 very easily.
Right.
That's not quite, an impulse buy, if you will.
No, I mean, but people keep bringing up these numbers, $2,000 to $3,000, which is really not that expensive. It really, really.
Maybe to you, I got a house payment.
No. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the $2,000 to $3,000 that they're talking about isn't actually true. You can get all the equipment that you need for about $1,500. While yes, it is still expensive, it is not as oh my goodness expensive as people make it out to be. And if you really love movies and you spend that much time, then you just consider it part of the investment.
I think what Damien is trying to say is if you can afford it, please do it.
Yes.
No.
Let me offer a bit of a counterpoint. I think the $2,000 to $3,000 is much more realistic because let's face it, when I buy this TV, when I buy this setup, this is going to have to do me for 10 years. I'm not going to go buy some cheap POS. I'm going to go buy, you know, a 50-inch Panasonic plasma, get a nice, you know, 6.1 with lossless audio receiver, and I'm going to have to get a decent Blu-ray player. I'm not going to go half-assed.
So, the Energy...
Because I love movies.
All right. Energy 6.1 system is about $500. Panasonic's award-winning new TVs, 50 inches, are about $1,000. That's $1,500.
720p.
Huh? I have to go it is. I'm guaranteeing you can check it now. 1080p. They don't even make 720p TVs anymore. All of them are. The new Panasonic TVs have Yahoo widgets and all sorts of. As in, they've moved past the realm of what the image is going to do. They're now adding in other small features to make the package seem better. Right? And award winning speakers and award winning TV. Both lossless audio and video, $1,500. Guaranteed.
I'm looking it up right now.
You can? So it's not... yes, you can if you want to spend... For the people who have the money, clearly those people should upgrade. And for the people who are... Because I know it's tough economic times, right? It's kind of hard to find the extra money and whatnot. But you guys need to realize that there's a migration coming. They're not going to continue supporting DVDs forever. You might want to believe that, but it's just not the reality. And this might just be one in what is going to be not putting extras on the DVD could just be
something to push
something,
people.
To push people to Blu-ray. And more studios are probably going to jump on the bandwagon. So I'm sure it's going to be easier to make one format. Just put out one Blu-ray of something than putting out this and this and this and this. And for people who think that digital is the way and, you know, whatever.
On demand.
Yeah. A, you'll never get the quality being the same. And B, not everyone has the broadband setup. So
part of the issue is that I think there's a very good chance, but by the time Blu-ray would have been the standard like DVD is now, we're going to see something better. I'm not saying to get to your TV thing. Yes, I found one for $1,200. Actually, it's going to be $1,400 normally. So that's actually they have dropped. Just so you know, But it's like I have a bunch of friends. I have friends who make films. Who have said, you know what, I can't even do 1080p now. I'm going to 4K now. I can't handle 1080p. It's not good enough.
All right.
So I'm almost, you know, it's a matter of I'm going to have to buy something good. So, you know, we'll say $1,200 for the TV, just as an example, for their really good 50-inch plasma. Then you're going to have to spend $400 to $500 for a receiver by itself.
But don't you already have a receiver?
Not something that's going to process lossless.
Oh.
The receiver I have is a good 3 to 4 years old.
Oh.
So I have to replace that. I have to get a decent DVD Blu-ray player, which a good Blu-ray player is going to run you probably at least $250.
Plus, just
you have
to get a whole new set
of
throw it at
for all the stuff because your old stuff, your old entertainment center is not going to hold it.
No, I understand it's expensive, right? I'm not trying to say that everyone should run out and do this immediately.
He's not saying that he won't be your friend anymore.
Exactly. Although I might stop being.
And this is all theoretical. This is all hypothetical. I just think that the studios are dumping DVDs sooner than they should be.
I kind of agree because everyone can't move up to Blu-ray.
I'm still buying DVDs.
You're a crazy person. but like you're saying, people will move to 4K and whatever. I want that. I want the best possible picture that I can get.
You want to build your IMAX screen.
Why wouldn't you want the best possible picture you can get? This is expensive. But there's a lot of things that people throw away money on all the time and think nothing of it. Liquor, clothes, all sorts of nonsense.
Yeah, our addiction is movies. And they're better. There are worse ways to spend.
Exactly, it looks phenomenal.
It's a lot safer than other things.
Almost more important. I mean, it sounds phenomenal. Plus, you can just buy headphones and don't worry about all the other people. Although headphones are about $400 or $500. It's about the same.
If I've already got a house and I'm in the basement, you know, I've got to get it going right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All right, moving on.
Wow, I don't know if I'm glad or not that I brought that story.
No, I'm so happy because it gave Damien an opportunity to once again push
slap standard deaf people. Next year is 2010. It's the future, people. What's wrong with you? It's the future. Embrace the future. We only have 2 years left. 2012 is around the corner.
Spend every week going to stinking screenings every week, then you'd know why I don't have a high def set.
Exactly. You don't need one. I have to go to Carib. I have to. That's my only option. It's Carib or Blu-ray. And I choose Blu-ray every single time. Andrew is stupid.
All right, let's move on. we've beat the dead horse of starting to beg for mercy.
Another piece of news which came out this week, the Akira movie, the live-action Akira movie that was announced a while back, it's apparently still going on, and they've now hired screenwriters who have worked previously on Iron Man, as well as Children of Men.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, Dave, have you seen the Akira film?
Oh, yes. Yes, and you know, if they can make sense of that movie, the, you know, more power to them.
I'm sorry, Dave.
I have no idea how they're going to translate that to an American audience.
I was in shock because I thought you were saying the movie, you didn't like the movie, but you're just saying that you don't think Americans will accept the story.
I don't think so. I think you show half the people what Akira is, even with, subbed or dubbed with the new ones that they did in 2001 or whatever. Half the people still walk away. What the hell did I just watch?
What do you think of the Akira film?
Personally,
yes.
I'm not entirely sure what the hell I watched, but I think it's visually it's a very interesting film. It has a lot to say, and while I may not get it, I can at least appreciate it.
Dave, we're no longer friends.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, as a caveat to all that I'm going to say right now, Akira was the first anime that I ever saw. Well, that I knew of as anime. We saw like
Kenshin was my first.
Right. So I saw Akira, I remember, in 1992, as a small child, saw it on Sci-Fi, and it blew what little mind I had. And I freaking love this movie. Absolutely. This movie is near Rambo level. Andrew understands. You might not understand. But this movie is like pinnacle. I'll always love this movie. There's no way for them to translate this movie because this movie doesn't make sense. And the reason it doesn't make sense is because when they translated it into English, a lot of the things didn't really translate that well. And so, you know, the ending, not so straightforward. There's no way for them to make an American version of this movie. Unless they're going to turn it into Biker Boys and just skip that whole creating the universe thing at the end. And then it's not Akira.
Alright, because I'm afraid to ask Damien. Dave, why do you think this movie makes no sense?
I think a lot of it is lost in the translation. I've been very curious. I would like to see the new release that they did. I think it was just this year that they did on Blu-ray. So apparently they did a new master and a new translation.
It's on Blu-ray?
Curious to see if it makes more sense. Yes.
Oh, that's... Okay.
Amazon.
Paycheck. docking money. I know.
I love this movie, and I definitely was not as early as you can. The first time I saw this film was in low sixth form.
Wow.
Beefy lent me his DVD, and I watched the movie. He was like, you should see this movie, it's Akira. I'm like, what the hell is Akira? All right, thanks.
What the hell is Akira?
I didn't know what it was. He gave me the DVD. I watched it at least 4 times within like a day before I gave it back to him. It was an amazing film. It's that scene when Tetsuo first gets out and he's attacking all the guards when they go against the walls, that freaks the shit out of me to this day.
That's not gonna fire the rocket on his
and the teddy bears and the milk.
Right. So again, there is no way to translate this movie.
But I mean, they've done nonsensical stuff like The Grudge and all of that crap, and it still worked in the States.
Going to.
I think the only one you can really say worked was the first Ring movie. After that, it got pretty bad.
And I hate the first Ring movie.
No, you see,
it's a chick crawling out of a screen. People still to this day losing their minds how awesome this movie is. This movie's terrible.
That's
Damien's opinion.
I was doubtful. I'm happy to see Children of Men right off. I think it can.
Wait, do you think the writing is going to be the issue with this movie? You think that is the major concern of. That's your major concern? The writing.
Yes.
Alright, sir.
I think it's a definite concern. I think, I mean, it may not be the concern, but I think it's a very legit.
No,
concern.
I understand that it's a concern, but that's not.
I'll worry about the look when they announce the rest of it. Because, I mean.
When Keanu Reeves is cast as Tetsuo.
And Mitchie directs it.
No, he's already going to be ruining Cowboy Bebop. We don't need to.
Yes, he is.
Let's not go there.
Serenity, that's the perfect Cowboy Bebop.
So you're saying they should cast Nathan Fillion?
I'm saying that they should leave this property alone. That's what I'm saying. They can make a Kenshin movie. Can't be that hard. It's ninjas chopping shit. Why don't they pick the easy properties?
Right? They need Dragon Ball.
Exactly. And look how well that turned out.
And Chun Li.
Well, that's not their fault. They did Street Fighter already. And they decided to one-up themselves. How can we make a worse movie than Street Fighter?
Kirsten Do you know Kirk. The answer to that question, babe?
Kirsten Kirk. That's how they did it.
I'm so worried about her coming to Chuck. I really am.
I'm just glad she's leaving Smallville. That's what I'm glad about.
Thank you. They need a new Smallville.
Are you a Chuck fan, Dave?
I adore Chuck. We're working through the second season right now, and it is just such a good show.
Oh, so it didn't take you 40 hours to decide that you like Chuck? Unlike Ooh. Another person that used to
be on this podcast.
No, first episode, absolutely awesome. I quit watching it because Heroes started to suck donkey. Never mind. It was an awful, awful show. And when, you know, I quit watching the lead and when I quit watching Heroes, honestly. So I've started catching up with it on DVD and NBC.com. And it's a brilliant show. I love that show. Okay. So and it has Adam Baldwin. I love Adam Baldwin.
Okay. So like how Dave likes Chuck, so I might give Chuck a chance. But you brought up Heroes. Is there any chance for Heroes being good again?
Or I have no hope for this upcoming season.
Are we done?
Zero. When they've announced that Claire is going to experiment in college with girl-on-girl action, and if the audience likes it, maybe they'll do more.
Really? I didn't even read that news. Maybe I just saw Heroes in the title and skipped it.
All right, so I'm going to delete Heroes out of the media center. I'm done. All right.
Fair. Part of the problem was that they were saying that Brian Fuller was going to save the show because he was the one who wrote the amazing episodes that were in season one.
Yeah.
He wrote a few episodes in season three, and he's already gone.
Yeah. As soon as he was kicked, it seemed so quick.
I don't need to watch.
And what
Heroes.
Pissed me off most about all of that news was not so much that he came and went from Heroes, but the fact that he ended one of my favorite shows of recent days, Pushing Daisies.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen Pushing Daisies?
Oh yeah, that was a great reason for him to leave Heroes.
Like, he should have just said screw Fox and. It's not like Fox, it's ABC. And just NBC? Who is doing Heroes?
NBC.
I don't even remember.
It's not your fault.
And just continue doing Pushing Daisies. I hate these people.
He went, no, I don't like money. I don't like money. That's what you should have said.
And it's sad that show got cancelled.
Mm. Yeah.
As opposed to Heroes.
Yeah. Anyways, another item that came out this week was YouTube might be offering movie rentals.
Yay, crappy video qualities on my movies. Back to Blu-ray talk again.
So they're saying that what will happen is you'll pay a fee of in between $2 and $4. I round up so I don't say all those 99 cent bullshit. and you'll have the film for a 24-hour viewing period to watch. They're in advanced talks with Lionsgate, Sony, Warner Brothers, and MGM. Would you want to rent films from YouTube?
God, no.
The quality is so good.
But I mean, well, they've put in the HD there.
Oh, yes, and it looks wonderful, doesn't it?
It is wonderful for YouTube.
Oh, okay.
And I mean,
you have like Hulu that does such a better job with their video quality.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell because I don't live in America and Hulu's a fucking retard.
You know, and that's one thing that YouTube has, possibly. I can't see them locking down the international rights.
You see, I don't expect that because, I mean, every now and again I go to a YouTube link and it says that I can't watch it because I'm outside of the country.
So you're pretty much planning on being hosed on this no matter what, right?
Yeah, I'm
just
assuming
like Netflix.
Yeah.
That I don't get on my 360. A,
see,
because
that's
it's
what I was
going to
say. Netflix is
and
my way to
B,
go.
B, because
I'm
Netflix
looking at
doesn't
doing... Oh, go ahead.
Go to dinner.
I'm just being bitter. I think it's time I stop.
Yes, you should. Dave, what were you saying?
Crying.
The fact is that if I'm going to stream something, I'm going to use Netflix.
Like
that's the way it is, because I'm not watching stuff on my TV. Well, I'm not watching stuff on my computer. If I'm going to watch it on my TV, I'm going to either watch it through my 360 in the basement or on my Roku up in the upstairs.
Well done, sir.
What do I need to do YouTube for? What can they possibly give me that I'm not already getting for free as part of my subscription to Netflix?
Because when you're finished with watching the movie on YouTube, you can go and watch a clip of a dog in a plastic bag. You see, you get the best of both worlds.
Dave,
and you pay extra money.
Dave, how much is it you pay for Netflix? I don't know the costs.
Right now, I think we pay about $17 a month. Yeah. That gets us 3 DVDs at a time, plus the unlimited streaming.
I hate you very much.
Like 40 titles in our Watch It Now queue, and like several of those titles are entire seasons of TV shows.
Okay, well, I guess the $2 per movie on YouTube would just be ridiculous.
No shit.
Exactly. It's like doing iTunes. I just don't see the point in that.
Dave, have I said that I hate you? On Netflix. Very much.
I remember telling Hulu to fuck off personally. Yeah. They followed me on Twitter. I told them. I immediately told them fuck off. What, show stuff to me. I live in Jamaica. They're like, I'm sorry, and then they moved on with their life.
Hulu is all well and good. I want Netflix.
I want Netflix too.
Yes, you do.
I almost got a Netflix account when I was in the States for a while. I never did.
How would that help us now, Andrew?
I don't know.
Then stop.
Another news item that came out this week is Steven Soderbergh.
Ocean's 14, yay!
No. He's apparently going to do The Knockout next instead of Moneyball, and he says he's going to cast this MMA fighter, Carano, is that her name?
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
To be the lead role. So, I mean, skipping Moneyball, what do you think about this idea of this whole another fighting film, but from Soderbergh? What are your thoughts on Soderbergh, Dave?
I think he's going through his experimental phase again, because he cast a porn star in The Girlfriend Experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now he's casting an MMA fighter for a fighting movie. You know, this is kind of like Bubble or, you know, some of those movies where it sounds like it's going to be more experimental. I don't know how successful it'll be. I'm not a Lock, Stock, and Barrel Soderbergh fan, but it's intriguing somewhat because he's involved. Somewhat.
Have you seen The Girlfriend Experience?
No, I have not.
Oh. I love that film. And I mean, I haven't seen...
Because you're a Soderbergh fanboy.
I'm not a Soderbergh. I haven't even seen enough of his films to jump the fanboy bandwagon yet.
Fanboy.
I mean, other than the Oceans films, Traffic, I watched half of Solaris.
Oh, no way.
I was falling asleep last night watching it. I really haven't seen that much Soderbergh, and I'm really interested in his kind of stuff. I want to watch Shay is what I want to watch. I still haven't watched that.
That reminds me, I need to go hit Blockbuster, because I hear they're selling used, like, volumes 1 and 2 for pretty cheap.
Oh. What's
if
pretty...
If they are, I will let you know.
Wait, did I tell Dave that I hate him? I don't... No.
You tell that to all our guests because they're not in Jamaica.
Yes.
You say that to the person who might be trying to score you a copy of Shay. I see how
Maybe I should move to this. No, sorry. Never mind.
Or you can just wait till Christmas when Criterion does the uber, like, 15-disc edition of Shay, and then you'll be good to go.
You're right.
Because they are doing the Criterion.
They're doing... It's for sure?
Yeah.
Well...
I love Benjamin Button on Criterion. I love that, so... Stole it from my auntie.
Is the Criterion really good for that?
Oh, yes, it is.
I kind of want to add that to my Blu-ray buys. What do you think about this news?
What do you call female wrestlers? No? Okay.
Female,
so this is the wrestler again. No, that's...
I thought you were coming.
He did the wrestler, right?
No, he didn't. That was Aronofsky.
Yes, it was Aronofsky. And he's going to make a piss-poor version of that movie with a chick. You know it's going to be the same movie.
I was thinking more along the lines of Million Dollar Baby.
It's going to cost him like $13. And just like The Girlfriend Experience, it's going to hire some people that no one knows. And he's going to make it short, which is going to be good.
Pay them Mexican wages.
And pay them Mexican wages. And, I mean, I didn't like the I need to stop being PC, because the girlfriend experience and Solaris I didn't like at all. But there's a few of his other movies that I really do enjoy. I hope it's a good movie. I just like ragging on Soderbergh because Andrew's a fanboy. You're a fanboy. Can't help it. You get angry whenever I diss him. So clearly you're a fanboy.
Is that what a fanboy means?
Yes, that is what fanboys do.
Chris Nolan is shit.
Exactly.
I'm not
going to punch you on ear. Wait until it's over.
Okay. Wait till we get to the trailers. I'll take over for you.
Fanboys. All right, we're gonna. Unless there's any other news items you guys want to bring up, we're gonna move into trailers. Anything?
Oh no, let's go to the trailers.
Trailers that came out this week. The first trailer that hit was Confucius. Dave, I'll let you start this.
I think we can all agree this is going to be a 3-hour-long movie, right?
Oh, yes.
I felt like I was watching a 3-hour-long movie when I was watching this movie. Are they going to try to be like this super epic movie about this great leader who frees people without any fighting? And I'm burned out on the epic in a big way, and I could see myself falling asleep in this like I did with The Last Emperor. I'll be very honest.
The Last Emperor? What was The Last Emperor?
It's about the last Chinese emperor, and yeah. it's considered a great film classic. There's like a 4-disc criterion of it. It's just considered great. The first half is awesome, and the rest of it just I was bored to tears.
163 minutes.
Mm. Yes,
it's a Lord of the Rings.
Damien,
I won't be watching this movie.
Not at all.
I mean, he frees people. But more importantly, with no fighting. Why would I sit down for 3 hours for that, Andrew? Let's be serious. Why would I subject myself to 3 hours of people talking and freeing people?
Men who walk in front of cars.
Exactly. No, if it was that. If we were going to slip in some new man who walk behind car get exhausted, then maybe. But we know they're not going to do that. They're going to play it straight. And this, I mean, the trailer. If the trailer was that boring, can you imagine that stretch out over 3 hours?
I just can't believe that they released what I think is a 3-minute trailer, which had absolutely no dialogue.
But you know exactly what's going to happen.
Exactly.
In the movie. You want to talk about a spoiler-filled trailer? I watched the movie. I'm good.
I mean, I'm tired after seeing a 3-minute version of the movie.
I've never been this tired after watching a trailer since seeing the In the Name of the King trailer.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow.
It shows, I'm not saying this is going to be a crappy movie, but this is an extremely hard sell.
No, I'm not going to watch it.
I think this is going to be one of these movies that I'm going to wait until it hits DVD, and I'm going to sit in my room and spend 5 hours watching it, because I'll just pause and get up and go and come back.
I'm going to wait until forever. I'm never going to see this movie. Even if I get this movie, it's going to sit there, because I'm always going to know that it's that movie. I'm not going to watch it.
Alright, and here's the thing. I admitted this to Damien earlier before the show when we were actually watching the trailer. For a long time in my life, I didn't think Confucius was a real person. Because, I mean, as far as I knew, it was all these funny little jokes that people made, which just sounded like making fun of Asian people. Like, as we were referencing, we were making the joke that people always say, man who walk behind car is exhausted, while man who walk in front of car is tired. And I mean, it's...
As I said, they have Chow Yun-Fat, and it's not someone doing a Charlie Chan impression, which is, I think, what a lot of people are going to halfway expect.
Like... All I have to say is wow to this trailer, and I'm waiting to see the good reviews.
No, Andrew, even if this movie gets phenomenal reviews from all the critics, I know what kind of movie it's going to be, and I'm still not going to watch it.
It's not directed by Ang Lee.
I don't care. It's going to be long and boring.
So final verdict, no.
Nope.
Dave?
No, hell no.
And I gotta stay with you, no. Another trailer that hit this week was finally a full theatrical trailer for The Princess and the Frog.
There's magic in the air tonight,
and anything can happen.
I suppose you want a kiss.
Kissing would be nice, yes?
Prepare yourself for a classic tale in a whole new light.
You mean?
It's The Princess and the Frog, but not quite the way you heard the story.
I was cursed by a witch doctor.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Transformation Central.
You
must kiss me.
Excuse me?
Please, it will make me human again.
This is a new Disney film, back into 2D animation.
Yay!
Dave, thoughts?
If you guys have positive stuff to say first, I'll let you go first. I will defer.
Alright, I'll go first. I like this trailer a lot. I'm glad to see that Disney is going back into 2D stuff. It looks beautiful. The setting in New Orleans... when I saw the first teaser, it was kind of off-putting. But as the trailer wore on, got used to it. I definitely like the little snippets of music that have been there so far. And
freaking Randy Newman.
Right.
We have something to say about Randy Newman, yes, don't we?
Jesus is watching. So, like, I have high hopes for this. Even if this movie isn't, you know... they don't knock it out of the park with this one. It's just glad to see that they're going back. Hopefully a couple years from now we'll get another movie akin to The Lion King, which is hands down one of my favorite movies of all time. It took them a while to get there, but hopefully, you know, they'll get there again. All they need to do is just snipe some people from Pixar and have them do 3D animation. We should be alright.
What do you think of the Iron Giant?
I love the Iron Giant.
And that's my man,
right? No, I know
from Pixar.
Yeah, exactly. All I need to do is snipe people from Pixar.
Yeah. I am one of those people who haven't been exactly missing 2D animation. I mean, I definitely can see the lack of it nowadays.
Because you're embracing the future.
I'm embracing the future, and I'm embracing Pixar, right? But I'm really happy to see this 2D animation come back. And as I watch a trailer and you see it saying from the guy who brought us Aladdin, I rewatched Aladdin earlier this year. It was one of my favorite movies when I was younger, and it still is an awesome movie and I love it.
Did he keep your school skirt?
No. I did have a skirt.
And a magic carpet.
Oh, come on. You didn't love Robin Williams as the genie.
Alright. You were saying.
I love the music in this trailer. I mean, I was with you when they released a teaser earlier. Wasn't really looking forward. So. Was kind of like, are they just trying to make this same story over Black?
Yeah.
But it looks like they might just do the Black version, but it definitely will have some original elements to it. As you can see now, instead of the princess making the frog a prince by kissing it, it's going the reverse. She becomes a frog and they go on this adventure.
Spoiler.
It's in the trailer. It looks like it'll be fun. And I mean, I definitely don't think that I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10, but it looks like for the 8-year-olds out there, they are going to want to give it a 10 out of 10 when they see it.
I like pretty pictures.
Dave?
First of all, if you want to see why 2D animation is amazing still, when you see Ponyo, you'll understand why 2D animation is still relevant.
Well, I was really going for America's 2D, because I've always been on the Miyazaki bandwagon, and he has never given up on 2D.
And Bleach looks... Bleach, yes. New episodes are fun.
So, okay. I have to give full disclosure. My wife and her father, you know, we have a lot of, there's a lot of Cajun in the family. And what came up to me was that they're showing that Cajuns are all toothless, inbred hillbillies who talk about Gambit in the X-Men cartoon.
But just as a side point, when last did Disney do one of these films in which they didn't have really ridiculous caricatures of some people? Like,
you brought up Aladdin.
Aladdin in that opening scene with the guy and his
Pocahontas.
Pocahontas. Like, a lot of their films have really caricature stereotypes.
It was a turnoff for me.
Walt Disney was
never really appealed to me, so.
I mean, they have to honor the man. The man was racist. The man would.
Because I have to see it.
Turning in his grave. Oh,
yeah, Dave.
I'm gonna see it because I have to. Because you know it's on the screening list, so I'll have to go see it. But I'm not. You know, can't wait to see the next Disney 2D animated movie because it looks. I don't know. It just doesn't. It doesn't strike me as going to be particularly good.
Right. I understood.
Jade on the Don says, "Wait a minute." Cajuns aren't that way.
This looks like a bad version of the Aristocats. That's what it looks like right now.
No, but like, I can understand how you feel. If they had done it about Jamaicans, I think we'd have been just as pissy. But to be fair, it's Disney. And I mean, as long as they keep it lighthearted and not, I mean, and not be, you know, really racist.
I'm very curious to see what kind of protests we're going to see out of this, because you know they're going to happen.
No, only in the States, because no one else cares.
Alright, Damien, you mentioned that Lion King is one of your favorite 2Ds from back when.
No,
Dave,
it's my favorite movie. It's one of my favorite movies.
Dave, like, looking back on the 2D animations from Disney, what is your favorite that you can pick out?
Man, that's hard. I do love Aladdin in a big way.
Under this.
Not that one so much. Can I tell you,
I went to the jazz festival last year and these guys closed the show with that song and I just died laughing.
Didn't you ask back for your money? No, come, now. Now I lie about my money. Thank you. Had enough of this.
I'd have to say probably Aladdin.
I'm going to go with a tie between 101 Dalmatians.
Seriously, where's his skirt?
And the Lion King.
You know, I have to change my vote. It's got to be Fantasia 2000. I take it back. When they do fit Rhapsody in Blue, it never ceases to put like goosebumps up and down my arms and like raise the hairs on the back of my neck. Fair it's enough. Amazing.
Wow. That's amazing. So are we unanimous? Yes or.
Well, he's seen it because he has to, but I'm definitely seen it.
No, I mean, whether you have to or not, would you want to watch this film based on the trailer?
Yes.
Yes, yes, Dave?
No.
No?
No.
Just because of Cajuns?
Yes.
No. It's because the story doesn't appeal to me. It doesn't look like it's going to be that great. That forget the Cajun aspect of it. It's just, it doesn't grab me in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
I know you haven't seen this trailer, but I'm gonna bring it up. The Up in the Air trailer.
Now this is gonna be a little difficult, so stay with me. How much does your life weigh? Imagine for a second that you're carrying a backpack. I want you to pack it with all the stuff that you have in your life. You start with the little things, the things on shelves and in drawers, and the knickknacks. You start adding larger stuff. Clothes, tabletop appliances, lamps, your TV. Backpack should be getting pretty heavy now. You go bigger. Your couch, your car, your home. I want you to stuff it all into that backpack. Now, I want you to fill it with people. Start with casual acquaintances, friends of friends, folks around the office. And then you move into the people that you trust with your most intimate secrets. Brothers, your sisters, your children, your parents, and finally your husband, your wife, boyfriend, your girlfriend. You get them into that backpack. Feel the weight of that bag. Make no mistake, your relationships are the heaviest components in your life. All those negotiations and arguments and secrets and compromises. The slower we move, the faster we die. Make no mistake, moving is living. Some animals were meant to carry each other, to live symbiotically over a lifetime. Star-crossed lovers, monogamous swans. We are not swans. We're sharks.
Damien, what do you think?
It looks interesting. I think he's our salesman.
Actually, because I've been listening to their video blogs, it's actually about this traveling guy who is not a salesman. He's the business consultant from Office Space who goes around and fires people.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay.
So that's what he is.
And he spends a lot of time in airports and flying and talking to people. But he does look interesting. He was giving some speech throughout the entire trailer about how you should bring all your things with you,
how
and family
to pack.
And friends. All sorts of other things. But it looks good. It's really good. For what I've seen in the trailer, I like the direction. It's a really well put together trailer. So it does exactly what trailers are supposed to do. This is a prime example. It's supposed to get you interested in seeing the movie while telling you near to nothing about the actual movie.
Yeah, it didn't really reveal a lot. I mean, if it wasn't for the review that I watched on Slash Film, I doubt I would know much from this trailer. The only thing that would really push me for it is the fact that Jason Reitman is directing it, who is the guy who did Thank You for Smoking and Juno, two awesome movies that I love. And the thing that worries me about this film, and this comes from the review more than the trailer, is that I've heard it plays a lot of inside jokes to people who travel a lot. You know, you always have to know how much your bag is going to weigh. You can tell which line is going to move faster. I mean, I've traveled, I've been through airports, but definitely not to the level of anyone who would be in that kind of job or anything. I think the last time I was in an airport going out was 5 years ago. So I think I might be able to get some of these jokes, but not many.
Well, maybe this is one of those movies that will stay with you, and over time, like the next time you fly, you'll start picking up on some of the jokes that they did, provided that this movie is actually any good.
And I mean, I like George Clooney. He tends to do good movies.
Did you see Leatherheads?
Anomaly. He asked for a mulligan and I gave it to him.
Fair enough.
But mulligan have been Ocean's 12.
That's sort of where it's fault.
Actually, I have to say Ocean's 12. I like Ocean's 12.
No.
I went to the theater and I watched it. It was the year I was in the States that came out, and I hated it. And then my brother got it on DVD, and I watched it over and over again. And I got that the movie wasn't as much as Ocean's 11, which was about the heist. It was more about the banter and the joking, which I got, and I eventually loved the movie.
Andrew, watch Leverage, please.
So were you drunk or stoned while watching it over and over and over again?
When you see Leverage,
I don't smoke, but I will not promise that I wasn't drunk.
Just how far, far, far. I mean, that movie.
It was a giant inside joke that's like, hey, look how cool we are, while being ginormous buttholes.
Oh. Right.
Okay, never mind. We don't need to talk. You know what? Ocean's 12 is not worth talking about.
You're sore. Right?
Okay, we're going to move into our feature review, but Dave, you haven't seen Sleep Dealer yet, have you?
I have not. I was remiss and didn't do my homework.
All right, so we're going to have to say goodbye for now. Thanks for joining us. Is there anywhere you want to point people to on the internet this week?
Absolutely. You can catch me over at screengeeks.com. We're going to start producing the podcast again. We're recording on Sunday, so we should be back up hopefully on Monday. It's twitter.com/DexterDouglas. I doubt anyone's in Colorado Springs, but if you are, this coming Wednesday the 16th, I'm hosting a Q&A for a movie called Ink that I just absolutely won't shut up about. It's coming to cities all over the country, so if you can see it, do. It's independent sci-fi fantasy that's just mind-blowing.
You can hint at the producers of that film to send me a copy. I'll review it on the site.
You know, I might be able to do that for you.
That'd be wonderful.
I think there's a very good chance I could do that. I can't promise, but I might be able to get a better format than normal. I'll just leave it at that.
As long as you try, I'm happy. Thanks again for joining us, and you're always welcome, Dave.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye, Dave.
See ya.
Andrew, watch Leverage.
What's wrong with you? All right, so now we move into our feature review of Sleep Dealer.
This show contains graphic violence against evildoers. You won't want to miss it.
Sooner than you think. A wall will seal the borders. To survive, even if it means getting connected.
So, Damien, you selected this film. You start.
Okay, so I saw this. We saw this trailer last year.
No, it was this year, I think.
Whatever.
A while back.
And it is a good trailer. It does, as I say, what trailers are supposed to do. It gets you interested and tells you next nothing. The problem with this is that this movie is bad. It's not a terrible movie that no one should see. I won't say it. It's not that bad that, you know, you should stay away at all costs and never, no. This movie is indie movie. It's really low budget, and you can see
the budget.
The concept of the movie is okay, I guess. Basically, the sleep dealers are factories where people go to work, but they work by proxy. So they're connected to these machines that are somewhere else, and they do the work. And they get paid, and they
so it's leave. A way of outsourcing work,
right?
Outsourcing labor.
The problem with the movie is that if you're one of those persons that can look past plot holes, then you're golden. But I've never met any of these people. The movie is all over the place, and the storyline isn't good. It's about this guy whose father used to own a farm, but there's this big multinational corporation that has essentially bought all the water. They put up dams so that people who used to have water can get water. And this dude hacked into some feed or some news feed or some internet feed or whatever. And they traced it back to him, and something happened. And because of the incident, he went into the city and became a sleep dealer. And throughout the movie, he comes into contact with the person responsible for the aforementioned incident, and the movie continues to play out. And all of what I've just said is really poorly told from beginning to end. The visuals in this movie, as I said, it's really low budget. The CG is bad. I mean, we can't give passes to movies anymore for being low budget, because District 9 looks phenomenal. But outside of the CG, nothing else in this movie really feels that low budget. It's just the direction isn't that good. The main actor isn't that good. He's like Keanu Reeves, where there's only really one expression, and he carries that expression throughout the entire movie. And there are times when you see him trying to change his expression, and it just doesn't come off. So the movie, I wouldn't tell people to go out and definitely see it, but it's not so bad that everyone should stay far, far away from it. It's mediocre. It's not terrible.
I'm with you there. It is definitely not completely a waste. I mean, it introduces some cool sci-fi stuff in it, but it's stuff that you've seen in other films as far as we're concerned.
Done better.
Done way better. It takes elements from stuff like The Matrix, from Existence, from sci-fi films we've seen before, and all they've done is they've incorporated the idea of America and other huge nations exploiting the Mexicans in labor. And the only question I have that they never even came close to talking about was how did this affect those huge nations? Because now that the companies have lowered their overhead so much by outsourcing this stuff, you can imagine the amount of unemployment in the countries now that the Americans aren't getting these jobs anymore.
There was a good idea, but he didn't. Whoever the directors didn't, you know, take all of these threads to their natural conclusion. He didn't bother to look, you know, he didn't make any kind of social commentary with this premise. It's just, he just puts it there so that it gets a cool poster and a cool trailer, and then
I think the run-of-the-mill movie. The sci-fi pieces of it could have been thrown out, and it would have been the same exact movie.
It would probably have been a better movie. Yeah, then it would have made more sense.
And then they wouldn't have to waste all that money on the bad CG.
Yes, it's bad CG, and the movie is really predictable. Really predictable. But it doesn't drag on, I don't know if it's because we watched it together and
we were laughing
at it. Busy laughing at the movie, which is never a good sign. But we got through the movie. We weren't drinking. So it couldn't have been that bad.
One thing that I definitely have to throw out there in this movie was the female Luz. Mm-hmm. Not good at all. You talk about the main character and how his emotions, but Luz, I get it that this guy is in a new area, and it's good to have new friends who are just interested to talk to you. And it didn't look completely unbelievable that this relationship could have happened, but she's a right.
So well.
It wasn't that great a relationship to explore. And then
the sci-fi.
And then the thing about it is that she plays a writer, and this is something that just bothers me, just deep down in my soul. In that they have this thing where it's True Note, they call it, which is like this template for people posting up stories about their lives and stuff.
Extracts their memories.
And it extracts their memories, and they narrate the stories and stuff. However, it has a way of telling when you lie.
Right.
So or you fudge the truth a little bit. So it'll be like, I was doing this podcast with Douglas, and it'll tell me, go back 10 seconds to tell the truth. And I don't think I'd ever want to live in a future where fiction isn't there.
No, Andrew, that is a minor problem.
No, I'm just telling you a little thing that bugged me.
Right, I understand. But, I've been trying to dance around speaking specifically about what is wrong with the movie. The sleep dealer situation, it makes no sense. How they jack into The Matrix. I'm calling it The Matrix, because clearly that's what it is. I mean, nothing. There isn't a government in this movie. Alright? There is no governing body. There's things that happen in this movie. Like, this depiction of the future is so terrible. Because there's one side where the technology is, you know, so far removed from where it is now, where it is so futuristic, you can save your memories on a website, and you can upload this, you can have sex through cables and all sorts of madness. And then you have people planting corn in the dirt. No, Andrew. Andrew, this, the scythe, I don't know if it's this guy's first movie. Hopefully it's our first attempt that, you know, some decent marketing.
Oh, no,
we did one more.
Is this a feature or a short? It's a short.
Right.
So this is his first feature.
And I guess for first movie, it's still mediocre. but, he has some good ideas, some good sci-fi ideas. He just doesn't know how to flesh them out properly. And that's a big... Well, that's not the biggest problem. The acting is really weak. And the storytelling is also really weak. But his direction isn't bad. Direction in the movie. We can fault it for many things, but the direction...
Yeah, I like the look. I like the look in this film. It definitely helped.
It's not that bad.
One other thing that kind of made me laugh and makes me cry, because we know this might just happen when the future hits.
Next year?
Possibly next year. It'll happen next year. All the young people today, most of the people, are listening to rap music. Oh, which is all horrible music. And there is this one moment in the film when he goes to this older people party. And you hear the booming bass. You hear the wonderful sounds. And you imagine that one day you will grow up and be 50, 60, 70 years old. And your friends will go to parties. And they will call Lil Wayne classic music.
May I remind you that music has a funny way of sorting itself out. Shitty music usually disappears. How many pop music from the 80s? When you go out on a regular basis, how many pop songs from the 80s do you hear?
On the radio or
just any in general?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, people can't stop playing David Bowie. People.
No, but that's not bad music. It's unfair to say. No, there's good music, but the terrible music.
So you're saying that by the time we hit that age, people will only be listening to Quali and Common?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that whenever good music returns, alright, we'll just find a few good songs that came out here, and I just don't want to imagine a future where Lil Wayne is considered classic. Kanye West. Thank you for bringing that up. Oh, it's a really short review.
Yes, this is. It feels odd. Anything else you want to talk about?
No. Hopefully, to be fair, it's his first try, and I'm not sure I could have made a better movie.
I probably couldn't.
But, hopefully he gets actors and a screenwriter next time, because his direction isn't bad. I'm kind of looking forward to what he does next. Hopefully he stays in sci-fi. We need some good sci-fi. Still haven't seen District 9.
Awesome movie.
But I really want to. And it's bad when you're reviewing one show and hoping to watch another. So I'll give this movie a four and a half, five. Something middling.
I'd hand it the 4. 4 out of 10. Definitely works for it.
Better luck next time, son. Hire better actors.
You is all I have to say. That's all we really have to say for this week.
Yeah, it's not good.
Thanks for listening. This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
You can find me and all the podcasts on gmanreviews.com and twitter.com/gmanreviews. Damien can't be found on the internet. And once again, I'd just like to thank Dave for hanging out with us. You can find his stuff at screengeeks.com. We generally broadcast every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Ustream,
and the podcast comes out generally in another day or 7
before the next one. You can follow us via iTunes, Podcast Alley, or our RSS feed. Give us reviews. We'll read. You know what, I actually didn't check this week.
You're a sad man
for new reviews.
That's why people stop sending them.
But I'm sure they're not there.
Alright guys, thanks for listening. All you guys that follow us in the chat room,
you're all awesome.
Thank you very much.
In your own special way. Anyways, and just to let you know, this awesome end music that you're going to be hearing in the recorded version, it's Randy Newman. Good night.
running round Jerusalem town. Them nasty Romans trying to keep you down. Got no shoes, but hey, good news. One day you're gonna be the king of the Jews. Crucifixion was a rough way to go, but Mel Gibson made a whole lot of dough. Nobody believed that he could win. Go, Jesus, go. Up he goes. You, my friend. Go, Passion of the Christ, go. You got a reason to live. I'm going to hell, ain't I?